This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Remember Bobby Helms? That's an oldie but a goodie for Christmas. That is one that you always hear at Christmas time, and deservedly so. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Hey, we got a good show for you today. Lots to do. Thank you for joining us. It's Wednesday. It's Monday, December the 4th. Hey, 21 days away, 3 weeks away from today, right? Anyway, in a few minutes, Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about how Republicans, in her view, need to combine any spending agreement with the Secure Border Act. Remember that? H.R. 2, the Secure Border Act. We're going to be talking with her about that in just a few minutes. And tomorrow starts the next phase of the Biden impeachment inquiry. And there'll be an assistant U.S. attorney, a female U.S. attorney, being deposed. We're going to take a look at that as well. Now, if you want to sleep well, we got something for you in this show today. It may be more important to hit the hay at the same time each night rather than how long you snooze. Did you know that? We're going to look into that. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, hey, we have a good one. The updated top 10 best TV game shows of all time. Do you think you know what they are? Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best place for a haircut for men that I have ever found in Tampa Bay. It's a great haircut. It's a great price. It's in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Men, call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, if you have any kind of a tree need, I don't care if you need a tree, you need a tree removed, you need stump grinding, you need a tree enhanced, whatever it is, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. I have used them. They're terrific. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So it looks like the head of the attack on Israel on October the 7th is dead. Israel's military says that it has killed Haitham Kojari, who was the commander of the Hamas Shati Battalion and was involved in the execution of the terrorist attack on October the 7th in Israel that started the war. Apparently, the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Force, guided by the intelligence of the Shin Bet, eliminated Kojari. They used an Air Force fighter jet. They launched a raid into Qatari, under his command, launched a raid into the Israeli territory on October the 7th. I guess the IDF posted a video showing the airstrike that was carried out against him. So right now that ceasefire is over with between Israel and Hamas. It ended on Friday after the IDF said that Hamas was firing at Israeli people. Hamas claims Israel rejected an offer to release more hostages. So that goes back and forth. And that fighting, therefore, continues. So that's a little update on what's going on in Israel. We hope eventually, boy, if we can get all those hostages back and end this thing, it would be wonderful. Now, the House is expected to hold a floor vote this week on legislation that would strike down pending federal regulations that would target gas-powered vehicles and that would prohibit any future electric vehicle mandate. The Choice in Automobile Retail Sales Act. Now, what do you think the acronym for this one is? The Choice in Automobile Retail Sales Act. It's the CARS Act. The CARS Act, introduced by Tim Walberg of Michigan, a Republican, and Andrew Clyde of Georgia, also from the GOP. It'll be considered by the House Rules Committee today before getting a floor vote as soon as tomorrow. If the bill's passed, then the Senate gets it. According to Walberg, the House must pass the CARS Act to block a radical and unattainable federal electric vehicle mandate that will cripple our auto industry. Says the American auto industry is at its best when they're free to innovate and listen to the will of consumers and not constrained by bureaucracy. No truer words were ever said. Why in the hell the federal government wants to get involved in providing what they think are better vehicles and more important vehicles for people? They can't even get that themselves straightened out. They want to tell you what kind of a car to drive. I don't think so. Let the free market decide. Most people want a clean air. They're going to go for the vehicle that will be the best for them and also one that will be the best for the environment, generally speaking, because nobody wants dirty air, pollution. They don't want it for their kids. They don't want it for their neighbors. They don't want it for whatever. So let's, you know, use some common sense. So there you go. We're going to be talking a little bit later about this impeachment inquiry. The House committee's leading the impeachment inquiry against Biden. They're going to be starting some grilling of top witnesses behind closed doors tomorrow. Leslie Wolf, she's an assistant U.S. attorney, is up first. She's expected to answer questions in a deposition. She was subpoenaed last month amid allegations that she sought to block investigators from asking questions related to President Biden throughout the year-long investigation into Hunter Biden. She was asked over the summer to appear for a voluntary interview, but she denied that. So this time they're saying, well, all right, then we'll just subpoena you. Do you remember that Gary Shapley, the IRS whistleblower? He alleged that Wolf worked to limit questioning related to Joe Biden and any apparent references to Biden as dad or the big guy. So that might be interesting. I'll look forward to hearing what that is all about. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, Laura Reese is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about how Republicans need to combine any spending agreement with their Secure Border Act.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Freedom Works. Thanks for being with us. As we move along through December, it's nice here in Tampa Bay, by the way, this morning. I'm happy to say. Delighted to have back a friend of ours, Laura Reese. She is the director of the Heritage Foundation's Border Security and Immigration Center. Boy, what an important job that is these days. And we're going to talk about combining H.R. 2, which is the Secure the Border Act, with a way to limit spending by our government. You can't have one without the other. That's the idea. Laura, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Oh, always a pleasure. Hey, I'm right with you on this, of course. This is crazy. And I think you make mention of the fact that we've got almost 8 million inadmissible aliens entering the U.S., through our borders since good old Joe Biden became president. And that does not include an additional 1.7 million illegals that evaded or got away from the Border Patrol. This is a scary situation. We worry about drugs. We worry about terrorism. We worry about, I mean, if you don't have a border, do you really have a country? I mean, think about it. If you don't control your border, how are you gonna have any kind of a stable country?
Well, we don't, and that was the point by the radical left, was to destabilize America, and they're doing this in all aspects of our lives, not just the border, but the economy and foreign policy and energy and et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, more Americans need to realize just because the border, the line, might be, you know, many miles away from them, that they are affected by an open border daily. Whether that is how much money they have to send to Washington, D.C., or how overcrowded their schools are, or how long they have to wait to see a doctor or get into the emergency room, or the crime rate, or fentanyl poisoning, and the list goes on. Not to mention, you know, the very real and daily terror threats we're now facing due to that open border.
Indeed. There's been this thought that Republicans could have been a lot more aggressive with Biden and the Democrats in securing the border. What is your thought on that?
Well, the House Republicans passed an excellent bill, H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act, in May, which is the most consequential border security bill really ever. And now it's incumbent that the Senate act like we're facing the border crisis that we are, and to stop negotiating with themselves and pretending we're still back in the 1990s. And so the Senate actually took up H.R. 2 as an amendment in June and nearly passed it. All present Republicans, except one, voted yes for it. And so the White House now is demanding billions more dollars, and they've tied together Ukraine, spending money for Israel, money for so-called border security, et cetera. Just the border security portion is $13.6 billion. But one more dollar given to the Biden administration is just going to expedite processing of even more illegal aliens into the country. And so that's why the House Republicans and leadership is demanding, Senate, you need to take up H.R. 2 and pass that, because we need those real policy changes to prevent future flow of illegal immigration.
Laura, do you think Michael Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, is that one of the reasons that the Republicans are, say, pouncing on this border issue a little bit more?
Well, Speaker Johnson seems to agree with this, that it needs to be H.R. 2 or bust, basically. Because, you know, as you started out with the numbers, we have a very real crisis. We don't have a country right now. And if we truly want to fix it, then H.R. 2 would do that. And really, that's just the floor. You know, more can be done, more should be done. But those changes are critical because that stops the asylum fraud. It stops the abusive mass immigration parole that this administration uses to bring all these people in. It stops the flow of unaccompanied alien children, which have hit historic numbers under Biden. And it deauthorizes giving more money to the NGOs that carry all this out for the administration.
But do you think the Senate's going to go along with this? I mean, I wonder about Mitch McConnell. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's getting older. I don't hear as much from him about things. Now, he's no longer, of course, the Senate Majority Leader. It's a different situation. But is he strong enough in there to help get this over the edge? Or is Schumer and the Democrats just going to ignore whatever, you know, the Republican House does?
Well, some Republicans say, yes, we need to do something on the border. And so they've been negotiating with themselves, with Democrats, and even with Secretary Mayorkas, which just seems bizarre to me since he's the one that burned us all down, to get some policy changes attached to this White House supplemental for the $13.6 billion so-called border security money. But the talk broke down because the Democrats are never going to agree to giving away their tools that achieve this. You know, again, those tools are asylum fraud, mass immigration parole, funding NGOs, and unaccompanied alien children.
Yeah. But by the way, we're talking again with Laura Rees. She is the director of the Heritage Foundation's Border Security and Immigration Center. She knows all about what's going on down there. And we're talking about H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act, and a way of getting this thing across the finish line. It's been sitting there, and it's been a while, and we start to worry about, you know, where we're really going to go with all. I mean, even if the Senate and the House both agreed on this Border Security Act, there's a good chance that Biden would not accept it, right? He might veto the whole thing. I mean, it seems like the Democrats, no matter what, they'll go down with the ship, even if they see that people want that border secure. And a lot of Democrats, voters, want that border secure. But it seems that they're just not willing. They're not willing to agree to go along with it.
Well, Democrats also want Republicans to rescue them on this and for the Republicans to own this problem. So Democrats are willing to say, yeah, we need to do something on border security, and they want to get just enough so that Republicans say yes, and then Republicans own the problem. Democrats are excused from this come the next elections. But really, you know, doing just a little bit, you know, some subsection of or part of H.R. 2 is not going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing play out right now in the Senate.
Yeah. Are they going to be able to separate war money from the border, do you think? I mean, is there any chance there would be a clean bill? It seems like there will not be. The Democrats are going to tie spending bills in with border security. And even if the Republicans go along with some sort of a spending bill with border security, I worry that the Democrats are going to duck and dodge the actual implementation of security on the border.
Right. Well, the House passed a standalone Israel aid bill. That was first thing that Speaker Johnson did. And so that's been sitting on the Senate desk waiting. But, you know, Senate Democrats, they're doing their age-old thing, which is if you want leverage, then you don't do standalone bills. Mm-hmm. You combine things that you want. And so that's still the game they're playing. We'll see how this pans out. How desperate are they for more Ukraine money? And so, you know, time will tell. In terms of would the administration, even if H.R. 2 passed, would the administration actually implement it? Well, they haven't shown that they follow the laws, but there are still courts out there that will rule according to the law. So we need to get these laws in place regardless. These were laws that the last administration requested to close loopholes that have long been exploited by illegal immigration. Like the catch and release and the unaccompanied children and the asylum fraud. So no matter what, these laws need to get on the
board. Yeah. Hey, Laura, if you were queen for a day or whatever, and you had the ability to set up or do what was necessary without anybody interfering in terms of the border, I mean, would you complete the fencing? Would you send down troops, National Guard? How would you go about making our borders secure?
Well, it's two things. One is prevention of illegal immigration in the first place, and two is enforcement for those who were already here or get here. There need to be consequences. And then when there are consequences, people change their calculations and change their behavior. And so preventing illegal immigration in the first place means requiring people to apply for asylum in the first safe country in which they enter, and if they don't, send them back there.
Mm-hmm.
We did that in the last administration, and we also said, or you can wait in Mexico. You're not coming into the U.S. to disappear for years while your asylum application winds its way through the ridiculously long process.
Yeah.
So that's the prevention, but also consequences that, no, you're not going to be released. If the law says you need to be detained, you're going to be detained. If you have a removal order, you're going to be removed.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Somehow Trump fashioned an agreement with Mexico that was basically keeping people from pouring through Mexico into the United States. He kind of held a stick up, I think, you know, and said to Mexico, look, you know, if you don't help us, you know, there are going to be some consequences. And it seemed like he was able to somewhat intimidate Mexico into agreeing. Now, it doesn't seem like Biden cares.
And no, he's not willing to. Mm-hmm. Biden is not willing to use the incredible leverage we have as a country over Mexico or other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not hard, and this is where Trump was good. He had a business background. There's things the other party wants and doesn't want. There's things we want and don't want. And you pull those levers to get what you want. And in terms of Mexico, Trump threatened tariffs. And so, you know, we've got a lot of leverage over Mexico and other countries, but you need a president willing to use the power.
Yeah, absolutely right. So finally, do you think we're going to get anywhere? Is Johnson and the Republicans in the House are they going to be able to fashion something that the Senate will agree to that will help us, or are we just, is this going to be like this all the way to election time?
Yeah, I don't know what is going to happen, but it needs to be very clear and emphasized that the Senate not fall for the border trap, and if they can't get good H.R. 2 language across the Senate finish line, that they not just say, well, we tried, and let's just give the administration more money. That is exactly the trap, and that is all Biden wants, is more money to keep the flow continuing of more illegal aliens into the country.
Yeah. Laura, it's always a pleasure to have you. We need people like you keeping our eye on what is going on, especially with this crisis we have down there. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Laura Reese, Heritage Foundation. All right, you can take our break. When we come back, got a lot of things to talk about. Another thing we're going to talk about, the Supreme Court could take up the tax code, a case that could punch holes in the federal tax code, heading to the Supreme Court tomorrow. We will tell you about it.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
God, it's Monday, December the 4th already. Hey, when do you put on your Santa Claus outfit, Ed? Do you wait until the final week? I know that you do that a lot, and you go out with the kids.
You know, I hear enough of that at Halloween time. So.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I went to have my Halloween costume altered, you know, because I was the Jedi thing.
Oh.
And you know what the lady said to me? She goes, why don't you go with Santa Claus? You're just chewing, like...
Yeah, you've heard enough of it. Well, you got that nice beard, you know.
Yeah, I don't think she was talking about my beard. No, I was going to give her a joke back, but I decided not to, you know.
Discretion being the better part.
She just hadn't finished my costume yet.
Oh, yeah. You have to be careful then, of course. Well, this is kind of... well, let's go to this story. This is... we've got our two buddies... Andrew, the Master Barber, and Angelo, our Eye in the Northern Sky, with us. Before we get to them, though, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was on one of the talk shows, you know, those Sunday talks. He was on Meet the Press, I guess. And, by the way, that Iowa caucus is coming up pretty soon. Mm. Anyway, DeSantis asked yesterday whether Donald Trump was seeking a second term mainly to go after his perceived enemies. Or was he seeking a second term to help improve America's future? DeSantis challenged Trump with a single question, why are you running? DeSantis said, if he's running for personal retribution, that's not going to lead to what we need as a country. You got to be running for the American people and their issues, not about your own personal issues. And that's a distinction between us. I, meaning DeSantis, I am focused on the folks. I am focused on what they want to see done for this country in a positive direction. I'm the vessel, but ultimately, it's not about me. Now, he was responding to a question from the anchor of Meet the Press, and by the way, they're all a bunch of liberals.
I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
Before we get to them, this I was watching the, God, what was that game? The Alabama game.
Oh, yeah.
The SEC championship.
Georgia and Alabama. Yeah.
So at the end, get a load of this. At the end, the two announcers, and I forget their name, Sue. They've been with CBS forever. And it wasn't there. It was on the field after the game when they were awarding the SEC championship. They also wanted to thank CBS for covering the SEC championship for 26 years, and it was ending. They were going to a different network.
Oh.
And they said this on the field microphone, and the people in the stands gave a resounding boo when they said CBS. So we're not talking about sports coverage. I mean, CBS gets great sports coverage, but you can see how fans don't like the media now.
Oh, I see. I mean, that think it was a political boom?
Exactly. When he said, we want to thank CBS, boom, it came out. So it was not about CBS Sports, because I think they do a great job with CBS Sports.
Yeah.
But the network itself, they do not like it. I was just thought it was very interesting that that came out.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of conservatives that are in those stadiums when you have a game between Alabama and Georgia, let's be honest, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've got our two buddies, the Master Barber, Andrew, and I, the Northern Sky, Angela. Always a delight to have them on a Monday. Say, guys, what do you think about, is Ron DeSantis trying to become a little bit more aggressive? Is he starting to fear that he's just not getting over that hump, despite perhaps his goodly performance in that debate against Gavin Newsom?
Well, the people who got their mind set, they want Trump.
It's over and done with.
He's, what, 40 points ahead of everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, Let's face the facts.
Okay.
Trump is not going anywhere. By the time all these indictments go in, all they're doing is making him stronger because people are fed up with it.
Yeah.
You know, Ron is going down for the count.
Yeah.
He's trying to go after Ziegler now, you know, the head of the RPF in Florida. Okay, the RPC. Republican, yes. He's going after him because Ziegler's got accusations against him. I guess him and his wife had menage a trois all the time or something.
You're talking about this guy Ziegler has got, yeah, he's getting some bad press. I think I saw something in the Tampa Bay Times
Now Ron is going after him to resign. And you know, another thing, they got rid of what's his name last week, the representative there, Santo.
Yes.
Now, Menendez, Menendez, who's done 10 times more than him with the gold bars in his jacket, he's still serving, isn't he?
I know. It's a double standard, isn't it?
Okay,
it's always a double standard.
It's a principle here, and the principles have been broken.
Yeah.
They've been broken, and the Republican Party's a mess. Let's face the facts.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Trump, there'd be no Republican Party.
You think he's keeping it together?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I
mean, that whole debate between DeSantis and our boy out in California,
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, I mean that they might as well have been talking about needlepoint for crying out loud 2 days later because nobody cares. I mean, nobody's talking. It didn't. If anything, it kept Trump is at 61% now, and DeSantis at 13, and Nikki's at 10.
Yeah. So, Angelo.
Yes.
I know you watched the debate. I know you like Trump. Do you think it's a done deal, like your brother says? You know, why bother? Should DeSantis just pack up, go back to Florida, stay there?
Well, you know, he could probably still campaign, but that wouldn't be too much going after Trump, you know. I think Trump has the nomination locked up. I think the Republican Party wants Trump to be the nominee. And, you know, like my brother Andy was saying, he's not going to get indicted. There's no way that they're going to indict him. In fact, I was talking to a Supreme Court...
You mean convicted, judge. I think, don't you?
Convicted.
Yeah.
He's not going to be convicted.
Right.
I was talking to a former Supreme Court judge, retired here in Monroe County. And he was saying all these charges against Trump are all, no pun intended, but are all trumped up. There's nothing that they can get on him.
Yeah,
you know, and he's not going to be going to jail. Even though you hear all these pundits on TV and on the internet saying he's just minutes away from being going to jail, this and that, he's not going to go to jail.
No, I don't think he is either.
And then you got this guy Blumenthal, he's a senator, and that guy Menendez. Blumenthal said he was a combat veteran of Vietnam.
Yeah, he was a big-time liar.
Yeah, big-time liar. There's a guy that belongs in jail, right? Stolen valor. I mean, he's a skunk compared to all his Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
He's a traitor to us. And yet this guy is still serving.
I can't believe Menendez. Yeah, how's Menendez lasting? If I was the Democrats, I'd want him to get the hell out as quickly as possible. You know, the longer he stays in there It's actually, I think, more of a positive for Republicans. They can point to this guy and say, look at what the Democrats allow.
Well, they went 100% against what's his name there? The guy that they just can't. Santos, right?
George Santos.
Every Democrat voted. Every Democrat voted to expel some.
Yeah. And, it seems like the Republicans come up smelling a little bit more principled in all of this, don't they? They helped vote Santos out.
I don't think, and I don't think Trump is running for a term to get even.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a guy that didn't take a dime for being in the White House, doing the job that we expected him to do. And I think the American public, I don't care when they say that Biden is back leading in the polls again, I find that hard to believe. With all the stuff that's going on, the two wars, the Middle East there and in Europe, right? The economy is tanking. How could the American people put this guy back in, mm-hmm. whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or independent?
Are you saying that there's a recent poll that has Biden ahead of Trump?
I saw that. I was reading it on the internet.
Oh, kind of, I haven't seen it yet.
A poll or something. I find it hard to believe.
Yeah. What about Nikki?
By 1 point.
Andrew,
I don't know where they're getting their information from.
Yeah. Oh, you know, they got so many different ones that don't mean anything anyway. Andrew, what do you think about Nikki Haley? Do you think there's a chance she could end up doing better in Iowa than Ron DeSantis? It seemed like DeSantis made Iowa his whatever you want to call it, because he went to every county. He showed, you know, I would think DeSantis has a good chance of, if anybody could pull off a little bit of an upset, it might be DeSantis, only because he worked so hard there.
Trump's going to win Iowa, too.
You think so?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that simple. He's locking it up, man. People are fed up, Paul. They know that the people that are running are just little birds right now. They don't want the little bird. They want the eagle. Okay, the robin and the sparrow aren't going to be able to do nothing.
Yeah.
They want the eagle, and the eagle is Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing about this whole thing is how many debates have gone on, and he hasn't attended one.
No,
and we kept saying at the beginning of the debate, well, he better do it. He better get in there.
Yeah.
And boy, it's paying off.
Yeah, it is.
Because you know what? They're talking themselves into a hole.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing. And the whole thing, even with DeSantis and Gavin Newsom, DeSantis came out in front of Newsom, but that's like being the assistant bus driver. You know?
Yeah. Who's going to drive the bus?
Big deal. Big deal.
I would like to see. Ron DeSantis, Secretary of Defense, military guy. I would like to see him as Secretary of Defense. Mm-hmm. You know, in politics, they talk all these stuff and all that stuff. But once the nomination is done and somebody gets elected, you know, he's going to have to pick people that are going to be. I mean, I know they have to be loyal to him. You know,
Ron DeSantis is coming back to Florida.
Yes,
he's not going to have no job on the cabinet.
Because he's doing more work than any other governor probably in this country. And what he's doing for Florida, he could do more for Florida than he could do in any cabinet, whether it be even his vice president of the United States. And when he gets a few more gray hairs in 4 years, they'll put him in.
Yeah, you're right. He's more important to the state of Florida than he would be sitting behind some desk in Washington twiddling his thumbs, you know. Hey, speaking about not debating, do you think Joe Biden would dare debate Donald Trump?
No.
Never.
Never.
He's not going to debate him.
Trump would make hamburger out of him.
Trump does not even have to go to these debates that they're televising with these Republican candidates, because we know what he has done, right? We what he did in the 4 years that he was president. Say, I'm going to do this better. He's going to do the same thing that he did before. He's going to protect this country. He's going to get the economy rolling again.
Do you think he might be able to slow down or end the Ukraine war? He claims that he might be able to do it within 1 day of taking office.
I don't doubt anything the guy says.
He'll be able to do it. He'll be able to do what he did. Look, he was a guy that was not all talk. He was all action. You saw what he did with Soleimani. You saw what he did with the rest of the world with paying their fair share of the NATO papers, NATO money, and all that stuff. Come on, he'll be able He'll be able to end these wars. And he was very friendly to Netanyahu in Israel.
Look at how he handled Kim Jong-un. I mean, everybody, Trump talked to a communist. Can you believe that? Yeah. The guy made him stop throwing rockets all over the place.
Yes, he did.
Okay?
Trump was willing to talk with anybody.
That's
he would
right.
talk with Putin. He certainly would talk with the president of China. He'll talk with our friend in North Korea. He'll go anywhere. And he did go everywhere.
Listen, Xi doesn't even want to talk to Trump because the last time he talked to Trump, Trump put tariffs on all their products coming over to the country. We made billions.
Yeah.
He don't want to talk to Trump. He's afraid of Trump.
And also, the leaders, they respected, the leaders in the rest of the world, they respected Trump, believe it or not. They knew he was a man of his word.
Respected and they feared him.
I think feared him.
Yeah.
I think he intimidated people. Yeah. Which I think is
just
good.
Like Ronald Reagan.
Absolutely,
just
I think
like
it's
Ronald
good.
Reagan.
I think you've got to walk softly or speak softly, carry a big stick. That was Teddy Roosevelt. Boy, that's true as today as it was back then.
Let me tell you something. The four hostages, the American hostages that Hamas has, believe me, if Trump was president, they'd either free all the hostages or there would be no Hamas.
Let me ask you something about that, Andrew. Do you think if Trump had been president these past years and was currently president, do you think the Israeli-Hamas war would have occurred?
Well, Ukraine war wouldn't have occurred.
No, but
the Hamas war wouldn't have occurred. No.
Because I'm not sure.
Any of them.
I'm not sure. That one might have occurred. Yeah, I think you're right about Ukraine.
They're fighting Israelis. They're not fighting the U.S.
Yeah.
No, but they do have four American hostages.
Yeah. No, I wonder if it would have changed the plans of Hamas because they would have feared a more direct involvement of the United States with Israel. I don't know.
And those four hostages would have somehow slipped away.
That's right.
If Trump were president.
What about Ronald Reagan when they took that Jewish hostage on the ship?
The Achille Lauro thing?
Yeah. What happened there? What did Reagan do to those... the people that did all that stuff.
He messed them up.
The only thing I can remember, I don't know if this was when the Achille Lauro, was that during the Reagan administration on the ship?
I believe so.
Because it was the Mossad that ended up killing every one of those people eventually that did that. I don't remember. Anyway, Reagan, Trump, these are guys that spoke softly. Or at least Reagan spoke. Reagan might have spoken a little more softly than Trump, but they both carried huge sticks. Yeah.
God bless them both is all I can say.
Yeah.
They love this country more than anything. And especially Donald Trump. For a person that didn't take the money at all, his wages, for running this country, right? Here he is, a businessman. He cared more for this country than any other president other than Ronald Reagan. Or
did you know
Abraham Lincoln like that?
Did you know that Trump is the only American president that left office with less money than he went into it?
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, it's a fact.
I believe it.
He certainly didn't need
the money, and that's another good thing. You didn't worry about him figuring out a way to, like Biden and family, figuring out a way to increase
that's his own
the bottom
fault. That,
line.
That's
you know?
His own fault. He should have got Don Jr. started in China.
Yes.
Or in Ukraine or something. That's his own fault. And by the way, I want to say this about the debate. You brought this up. Joe Biden debate Donald Trump? If there's one person out there thinking about doing it, that person should be charged criminally with cruelty to a senior.
you're 100% right. You're 100% right.
Poor old Joe might have an attack, a heart attack or something during the
debate. It would be like a boxing match in the first 5 seconds. So the other side throws the towel in.
Yeah.
And look at these impeachment inquiries now. Well, they're going to do nothing but waste money. Nothing's going to become. We're going to waste money and time.
But you know what? Just keeping that issue out there might be helpful to Republicans, even if they don't get anywhere.
Well, I don't understand why they don't get anywhere.
Keep it in the news. How about Sammy the Bull Gravano?
Yes, I saw that.
He went to jail.
By the way, he looks a hell of a lot different than I remember years back. The guy was, he looks very feeble right now, but he is so outraged that they would let Biden get away with this. It's like, how can our country how is our country stooped to this level with this guy?
You know, Paul, I'll tell you what it is, Paul. If you're a politician, if you're a mob and you get in trouble, they put you in jail. If you're a politician, you get in trouble, they give you a pension.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, guys, I wish we could go on. We could go on for another several hours talking about all this. I always appreciate Monday. I always look forward to having you guys with me. Thank you so very much. Angelo, thanks, buddy.
Have a good day, Paul.
Hey, you guys have a good day, too. All right. All right.
Have a good week, guys.
Same to you. The brothers Ceresi. Okay, let's take our break when we come back. If you want to sleep well, maybe more important to hit the hay at the same time each night rather than worry about how long you actually sleep.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen to us live, and we know you're busy, especially during the Christmas season, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Bless him. All you've got to do is go to our website at your leisure, OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. At the top, click on podcast. Ed's got all the shows, most recent shows at the top. You'll know who the guest is and the top 10. All right. So, believe it or not, the optimum length of time, supposedly, that you should be asleep is 7 hours. That's according to apparently multiple studies. But research has long found that those who sleep between 6 and 8 hours a day are less likely to develop a lot of diseases and even live longer. But what about when you go to bed? Surprisingly, recent research shows that maintaining a consistent sleep routine could be more beneficial than the actual time you're asleep. Ed, do you go to bed at the same time each night?
Pretty close.
Okay. That's probably a good idea. How many hours, may I ask, do you get normally, do you think? Do you sleep soundly?
No.
Okay.
Not a sound sleeper. 6, 7.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think it's about average. Yeah. Okay. Well, this doctor, Chris Winter, he's a neurologist and a sleep expert, and he's got a podcast called Sleep Unplugged, recommends going to bed and waking up at the same time every morning. Said, in general, sleep schedules are important because our bodies work best when they are able to anticipate what's coming rather than simply reacting to it. It said also that a study published last month showed that going to bed at the same time every night actually reduced the risk of early death by 20%. Mm. I don't know how they can figure that one. I don't know. But anyway, that's what they say. Interesting. All right, before we get to our our top 10. Ed, I was watching a goodly portion of the Bucks playing Carolina in football yesterday, and apparently the Bucks outlasted Carolina. Carolina's got an interim coach.
That game would definitely help you sleep at night.
Tampa Bay's still in the running for a playoff spot.
Yeah, but the Panthers are god awful. I mean, I don't know what I was watching out there. I mean, that was ridiculous. I haven't seen such a bad team. Even the Bears with their problems this year.
Their Bears
have gotten better though. But that team is horrible. Mm-hmm. And the Bucks were losing for a while there.
They were, yeah.
You know, in the third quarter they were losing.
It came down to the end almost, didn't it?
It pretty much did.
Yeah.
Yes. It did.
Well, they won it. So I guess we're happy about that. All right. Ed, we did this before, but this is an update, and it's not the same. These are the top 10 best TV game shows of all time, and it comes from a group called IMDb ScreenRant.com.
Yep.
You've heard of them?
Yes.
Okay. So here we go. Number 10. And I guess a 7.1 is the score for whatever reason, but Family Feud.
Yes.
And lots of people watch it.
Yeah,
I've watched it.
And I think it's at its height now with the host that they've got now.
So. Yeah, that guy's really a very popular man. Who is he? I forget. Black guy.
Steve Harvey.
Yes, thank you, sir. Number 9. Now, this is a Nickelodeon kids game show, so maybe you're watching it, but I don't watch it. It's called Figure It Out.
No.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out later. Number 8. Another Nickelodeon show. Challenges both brains and brawn. It's called Double Dare.
Oh, the kids on the judge?
I guess so. it comes up, which two teams of child contestants competed head-to-head in trivia and stunt battle? All right, number 7. Supermarket Sweep. You ever heard of that one?
Nope.
I haven't either. Mm-hmm. Competition that tests contestants' trivia knowledge as well as their shopping skills. Number 6. How about Press Your Luck? Have you heard of that one?
No.
Yeah, these are newer shows. A competition that tests contestants' trivia knowledge as well as, well, it says shopping skills again. All right. Number 5. Well, I know you've heard of this one. The Price is Right.
Gee, I thought it would be higher.
Yeah.
As long as it's been running, too.
It's been running forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Price is Right. Longest running game show in television history. Mm. Consistently running, I think. Mm-hmm. Number 4. Another one that's run forever, To Tell the Truth.
That's still on?
I think it is, actually, but I'm not sure. My dad was one of the contestants on that. Did you know that? He was one of the phonies. He got more votes than the real guy.
So help me God. I was on a game show, too.
Were you?
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Really?
Yes, I was.
I believe it. Right. Okay, number 3. We got to go quick. Legends of the Hidden Temple. Okay, number 2. Jeopardy. I thought that might be number 1.
Yeah.
What do you think's number 1, Ed?
You got 1 minute.
Real quick, I know I got a minute.
I don't know.
Match Game.
What?
I already said it.
Match Game. I miss Hollywood. What was it?
Hollywood Squares?
Newlyweds.
The Newlywed Game. Bobby Eubanks. The Newlywed Game with Bob Eubanks.
That
was always good. That was a risque show for its time. It was. They asked some very risque questions.
With the way television has evolved
Now it's harmless.
No, now I think it should be brought back.
Maybe
you're
right.
That would be hilarious.
Okay. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Wednesday. Remember, freedom works. You can take a break.